Today on another mysterious episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, the unprecedented military might of the United States Armed Forces is second to none. But what happens to the mega equipment and vehicles after they are decommissioned and no longer used in war? Could the energy of the intense and life-altering experience by those who served with them still linger decades later? Could the darkness of war even conjure something demonic on board one specific submarine that now stands as a museum to the past? We ask the question and more today on another chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is. I swear to God, Robert Stack just speaks through me sometimes. He does. When I'm sitting here putting the show together, like, and I'm writing these that whole thing out, I'm just hearing it in my head, and it's like, It's automatic writing, Carol. Robert Stack is sitting there going, this is the line I would say, and here's how I would say it, and I can just hear it, and I know where to put the commas and the periods and everything to make it all work. And then press play, and it's like, holy shit, Robert's back.
Well, I think that's really well done.
Thank you.
And I do think with the way you do this, now I haven't actually seen it or played with it myself.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a matter of, because you and I talked about this, like, writing it correctly and with commas and punctuation to get kind of an inflection from him.
Yeah.
And where you want it.
You have to understand the way people talked too, because I was messing around with it the other day and I was going between Casey Kasem and Robert Stack on the same copy or the same script. And I was just wanting to hear the difference in inflection. And the one I wrote for Robert Stack sounded, you know, like him, because I wrote it for him. I knew where the, you know, inflections would be, where the pauses, the punctuations, and you play with somebody else's voice characteristics and it's off. It doesn't sound right because that's not how they speak. So when you're writing for a character or something, you have to really think, especially if it's someone that's real, how did that person speak? Otherwise it's going to sound, you know, weird.
What about writing some kind of Casey Kasem copy about the America's Top 40 or whatever the hell that was called, and have Robert Stack read that?
Oh, it's already in the works.
Okay, because that would be kind of funny.
There's a mashup going to be put together involving Robert and Casey. So
okay. I can't wait.
Yeah, there's many ideas on that, and I think somehow if we could at some point have an appearance from what's the Dateline guy?
Keith Morrison.
And just for good measure, Stone Phillips should just show up just for the hell of it. You know, I don't know if I can find that much Stone Phillips.
He was so handsome that day.
I'm Stone Phillips. Like, good night.
Was he 2020? I can't remember.
No, he was the original Dateline. Dateline.
Yeah, it was Dateline.
Stone Phillips and Jane Pauley, original two hosts.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Now Jane Pauley is back on like CBS Morning or something like that. Sunday morning show.
No. Okay. Well, there you go. That's the latest on Stone Phillips and Jane Pauley. The update you've been waiting for.
That's why everybody is listening to get that kind of news.
Breaking news here on Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first story. Phone number 855-853-4802. Here we go. It says, my wife and I love your podcast. Keep them coming. We started listening to you all a few months ago, and we've been reminded about an experience we had with another couple. This happened at the USS Batfish, which is a historic World War II submarine resting now in a park with a museum in Muskegee, Oklahoma. We're touring the Batfish in mid-October 2016, which happened to be on a night with a full moon. It was with a local paranormal investigation group. We'd gone on a couple other investigations prior, but mostly we were just tagging along to observe, as we were not pros or really immersed in this stuff in any significant way. Our prior investigations we'd been on, mostly we just had some plausible auditory or visual experiences, but nothing concretely paranormal. After a while of touring and doing some relatively quiet and calm EVP sessions, we ended up sitting in a tight compartment towards one end of the sub where the torpedo tubes are. It was well after 10 p.m. when we started getting more activity. The team had set up with an EVP device, some kind of rainbow EMF light-up device, and a ghost box. We were recording audio on one of our phones just for curiosity's sake, but didn't intend to actually catch anything too unusual. As this particular session began, we started getting some eerie activity on the ghost box and the lights being manipulated. It was pitch black, almost oppressive and suffocating feeling back there. The temperature sensor indicated dropping below baseline, and we started hearing a strange but clearly evil-sounding voice speaking a seemingly consistent but odd language out of the ghost box. A few of the people, including the psychic medium, also mentioned feeling pressure on their chests and started to get anxious about the situation. We were able to regain cool heads and kept the session going for a bit longer, but it seemed that we had some kind of demonic entity taking an interest in our group and poking and prodding in different ways. It was mentioned by the demonologist that the language of the voice coming out of the ghost box was some kind of twist of Latin. Well, it would be very interesting to find out what message was really being portrayed by the entity. We don't have the skills or ability to be able to translate it. Honestly, we're a bit fearful of it. There were any causes or other things said with ill intent. We even contemplated deleting the file, or at least never playing it back, as we've heard it could invite more evil from others' cautionary tales. But obviously we're not that bright. The demonologist and medium went back and forth speaking with the entity, and eventually were able to drive it away, but not before leaving us all a bit shaken. And then explained that this was a low-level demon, but likely had another partner nearby. Saying as we didn't want to go seeking evil, or we wanted to move on and go outside to clear our heads and get some fresh air. We had a very interesting discussion on the way out with the demonologist about increased demonic activity in the U.S., where it sounded like people are purposefully creating more and more portals to conjure evil in the U.S. It's almost comical now how much worse life is in the U.S. has gotten year by year since October 2016. Seems to be rotting from the inside out. So maybe they really were onto something. A bit later on, outside it was not nearly as dark as the moon was shining brightly. It was a lot warmer and even a bit humid compared to inside that subcompartment. Near the mast of the Batfish, which was laid out on the lawn of the park, we began to hear various haunting screams on the ghost box. It was like as if people were yelling in pain and even hearing the word fire a few times. These flurries of sounds were disorienting and all in distinct voices and accents. They did not seem interactive at all, more like repeated looping recordings or echoes of ghosts re-experiencing the horrors of the reality of World War II in the Pacific Theater fighting. Unfortunately, we weren't recording by this point any longer, so we did not capture these voices, but recollecting their haunting sound still gives us shivers. While the USS Batfish was a very neat historical place to visit, the fact that it is most certainly haunted and attracts negative energy like a magnet gives us pause to ever going back. We ask for a holy water blessing before leaving and hopefully prevent anything following us home, which thankfully seemed to work so far. Needless to say, we got in our fill with the darker paranormal aspects and have not gone back or on any other paranormal investigation since. We're still curious about paranormal things, but are not wanting to risk our own safety in learning more. So your podcast has been a nice way to get our feels through others' experiences. Thank you for your time. Hope you can share this or maybe even take a trip yourself down to see the USS Batfish in Oklahoma one day. Hey, I think road trip.
Oh, hell no. After that story, are you kidding me?
That's a total road trip.
USS, not Batship, but Batfish.
Batfish.
Because I'm going to see, because, you know, Oklahoma's just right down the street.
But exactly.
Like, shit, I don't want that to happen to me.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Here it is in Oklahoma. Would you go after hearing that story?
I hate going through, at least it's not underwater. Is it underwater? Or is it raised?
I mean,
is
it's near a river.
It's up. Okay, like. So it's up, it's out of the water. I would tour it that way now. I've toured, you know, submarines when they're in the water, I don't like that. It's just, it's way too, and I'm not usually that claustrophobic, but you, oh my God, I would get claustrophobic.
So it's a World War II. It's 1945. Which is weird that they would bring a submarine to Oklahoma.
I know. That's why I was like really?
Isn't that strange?
There's so many interesting, weird roadside attractions in the center of the country.
I'm like, you know? Who had that idea?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's quite a ways from me.
USS. Because
that's by, that is southeast of Tulsa. So that's probably 4 hours.
Yeah.
But hell no, not after that story. Shoot. I might like go by it and just walk by it.
Oh, it's back in the water again.
Oh, it is? Because the pictures I'm looking at, it's not.
Yeah, they refloated
it. There's a picture of it in the water.
Yep. Oh, it was because of flooding.
Oh, wait, okay. That is a flood. Because I'm like, wait, it's water, but wait, that's a roof.
It's a flood. Yes.
Those trees, it's just the tops of trees.
It actually floated.
Although, here, let me see this picture. But how? I have so many questions. Now I'm going to have to do a deep dive into this. But like how, I mean, and these are just logistical questions.
Yeah.
But how did they get that to Oklahoma?
Was it cut in pieces, I wonder? And then
I
just
don't
kind of
know.
Put,
now I'm very curious.
How large is that? Like, because, you know, like those big pieces of the windmills for like the wind energy, those are insanely long. I would say,
yeah, they're kind of fascinating to see them go down the highway.
My guess would be it would be on something like that, because I would imagine the World War II sub is probably around that length from what I remember. I've seen some before, so. And they were roughly, I mean, maybe even a little shorter, honestly. But I would think that would probably be how you move a submarine. I wonder what
this
that
says
would cost.
The USS Batfish, their page. The champion submarine killing submarine of World War II. It's a submarine killing submarine. That's just bad.
Wow.
You know, if you're a submarine killing submarine, of course you're going to end up haunted. Second commissioning. I'm just kind of fascinated by it now.
Second,
but, like, I like seriously, I would have been running the hell out of there.
Yeah.
It's just so strange. So the next episode, I'll have a
deeper dive into the world.
Information about the USS, but I will say it at some point, the USS Batshit. I mean, Batfish. It's just, and that's a weird name for a submarine killing submarine.
Yeah.
Batfish.
Well, there you go. No, that would be neat to. I would go tour it. I would feel
but
fun. I wouldn't do like an investigation.
That was spooky, though.
I wouldn't be with like ghost toys in there.
No, I wouldn't want anything to do with that.
And you know, a sub, when you tour it, you got to keep going. There's no like. Let's, you know, I mean, I guess there's probably emergency doors in these now, but, you know, for the most part, it's like, you're not feeling good. You got to keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going until you're to the other end of the damn thing. So.
Well, it does say here, Wikipedia, this is known primarily for the remarkable feat of sinking 3 Imperial Japanese Navy submarines in a 76-hour period.
Shit.
That Batfish was badass.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? In 76 hours. It was constructed in Maine at a shipyard. So I'm like, why did it end up back in Oklahoma?
They won it at a raffle. They were at the raffle for the parks. And one day it was like, the Batfish is up here. And they won it. It was that. Or are 2 cases of Diet RC.
Oh, it says here, so in 69, Oklahoma's submarine veterans were impressed by the USS Drum Museum in Alabama because they got over 300,000 paying visitors its first year. So then a delegation from Oklahoma City and Tulsa chapters asked the U.S. Navy if they could adopt a retired submarine. And they had on hand the USS Piranha. So I guess that didn't work out.
Interesting.
So they ended up somehow.
Whereas the USS Piranha.
It was impossible to get a submarine as far upriver as Tulsa due to the, as we say in Kansas, the Arkansas River Channel. Mm-hmm. They say Arkansas there. Oh, it's Muskogee, Oklahoma. USA.
The Piranha was scrapped in 1970, so I guess nobody really wanted the Piranha.
I guess not. That's just an interesting story. And the crazy thing is, I've been to Tulsa lots and lots of times. I never even knew that there was a submarine in Oklahoma.
Me either. I want to check it out. I think it'd be cool.
The towing was... Oh, here we go. So they had towing was divided into two phases. They got it to New Orleans. And then I got to read this. It's a little too complicated. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, there you go. A little history with your ghosts today.
But seriously, if I would have been running out of there screaming like a little girl, because that was scary stuff.
Seems like, to be some dark
last
things.
Thing I want to do is hear demonic entities speaking in Latin.
While you're stuck in a submarine?
While I'm in a submarine killing submarine.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got a long ways to get out.
I mean, in 76 hours, it killed all those people.
Yeah.
It didn't.
Yeah.
The people operating it did.
Sure. I mean, and they were, you know, it was, you know, for, you know, the betterment in the war. But at the same point, that's a lot of people are dying. You know, it's the energy of that. That's like shit, you know.
Wow. Oh. That's crazy. But I'm really, this super scary story, but super interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting history and things I had no idea. I never knew. Why would you name a submarine Batfish anyway? But
the more you know.
It's just crazy.
Let's go to our next one. It says, hi, I just found your podcast and I've been listening to it all day at work. Love it so much. I thought I'd share one of my many experiences with you. Any feedback on this would be great, and I hope this makes it into the air. For the most of my life, we lived in an old farmhouse that the town is basically built around. Most of my experiences come from that house, and hopefully I will be able to share those stories with you sometime. This story, which also happens to be the most recent, took place in my old apartment a little over a year ago. My friend Amber and I had gone out the night before, so she'd crashed at my place that night. And we're best friends, almost inseparable, tell each other just about everything. Next morning, we woke up early so we could get ready and go run errands together. I was in the bathroom, which is just on the other side of my bedroom, straightening my hair. Amber was sitting up in my bed, checking her phone. When I was done with my hair, I went back into my room, start getting dressed, and so she could get to the bathroom. When I walked into my room, I started to say something and then stopped. When I looked at her, she was just sitting there with a confused look on her face, staring from the back door to the bedroom door. When I asked her what was wrong, she said she had heard the blow dryer turn off and saw a man walk from the bathroom through my room and through the back door. I immediately got goosebumps. Asked her what color of shirt he was wearing and what color his hair was, and she said he had on a red t-shirt, had short, dark brown hair. As soon as I heard that, I sat in my bed. My face must have gone pale because she asked if I was okay. That was when I told her one of the only paranormal stories I kept to myself for over 15 years. That was around 6 or 7, about a year or two before we moved to the old farmhouse. We lived in a small two-bedroom house. In the house was my parents, my two older sisters, and myself. All three of us girls slept in one room. We had bunk beds and a regular twin bed. I, being the youngest, had the top bunk. The two wooden railings for about 6 months, at least once a week. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, look through the gap in the railings, and see a man wearing a red shirt with dark brown hair just staring at me. He never said or did anything. He just stared at me in the bunk bed. I got the bell. My sisters and parents always told me I was dreaming and it wasn't real. After I described what this childhood horror man looked like to my friend Amber, she said that it was definitely the same guy. This was the first time and the last time he's been around that I know of since I was little. Good bunk bed story.
Well, I'm glad that you remembered to ring the bell.
Well, I wanted to right away. It's just it was way on the other side of the desk. Oh. So I had to
I was reading
and there was
holding
some,
your microphone.
Yeah, there's some moving. Pauses as I was trying to get the bell without knocking things over. And yeah. So
that was creepy too.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't know what it is with bunk beds, but.
Well, cause when I was a kid, we had bunk beds in the house. Because maybe when probably a lot of families have bunk beds.
Yeah.
You know, if you got two kids in a room, that's a pretty good way to keep them separate so they don't pick on each other all night.
Yeah.
But so she saw the kid saw the man when she was little and then hadn't seen it for a long time. And then the friend saw it.
Yes. It had been.
That is what's really weird. Like you think it's gone.
Yeah.
Or you just haven't seen it forever and hoping it's gone. And then somebody verifies to you, by the way.
Yeah, that is the exact. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and then to know that it's not gone and it's still there. I wonder if it's still, like, if there's been any more experiences with it or if it. Oh, ew, I don't like that.
That is the question. Is it still lurking in the shadows, just waiting? Yeah, but no, that was a good one. Thank you for sharing that. Always fun
Two
to hear
really a, good stories so far.
Always fun to hear a good bunk bed story here on the program.
That's exceptionally good.
Let's go to another caller. Hi, what's your story?
Hey, Tony. This is Victoria calling from Wisconsin, and I just have a quick story to tell you guys. So I downloaded a app called M2, a ghost detector app that I researched a lot on which one I wanted to buy and invest in. And it's not very expensive. I think it's like $2, but it's great. Anyways, before I tell you that, I work in a dental office, and this dental office has worked here for 4 years. And, you know, I've seen like lights pass by my peripheral and, you know, lights that can't be explained. They're in a dark hallway. There's no access to, you know, cars driving by with light flashing off the windows or anything. No, there's lights flashing and not a big deal. Every morning without fail, something is moved in my operatory, whether it be pictures falling down or moved, or, you know, I have a little gnome. My little gnome is moved from different areas. It's kind of interesting. Something else that happens in our clinic is when we first get to the office, there's a stench of cigarette smoke. We work in an office and no one that we work with, there's five of us, no one smokes. You would know that by now. And it usually is in the back corner where the washer and dryer is located. Are you thinking it's like the dryer? No, not the dryer. It's definitely the smell of cigarette smoke. It is very potent. And then it leaves and it's fine. Usually it'll happen again throughout the day, maybe around lunchtime or something. We'll go in the back area where there is our lunchroom and it'll be there. And everyone will just kind of stop and go, do you smell that? You're going to smell it. Anywho, so all of this activity made me want to get an EVP detector. So one of my patients canceled, and I decided to pop it up and put it next to my computer. And I didn't, you're not supposed to really, in the beginning, say anything. You just kind of open it up and see what happens. And I went to my computer and I went on BBC News and I was just reading through the articles and an EVP pops up and goes, computer. And I was like, yeah, okay, there's a computer. Well, I have a little stool next to me and a little tiny stool right off to the side where it pops up, stool. All right, cool, we're getting somewhere here. And then I'm looking at a particular article about a child who was kidnapped or something, and I caught my attention. I was pretty concerned, and when lo and behold, the next EVP that pops up, it says Woods and Concern, and the article was about the child being found actually in the woods. They were found alive, and it was pretty interesting. I kept reading through, and other EVPs popped up. There was an article about something that happened between races. You know, there was, I don't know, with society today, I'm sure you could probably imagine. And a pop-up on the EVP says racist. And I was just like, wow. So it was pretty interesting, the EVPs that I got, and I can't imagine how it would connect otherwise. I don't see how the EVP would be able to, you know, read off of articles on the computer screen that I was looking at, or be so specific as to what I was around. I thought it was very interesting, and usually I don't. I believe that I'm also a skeptic, as everyone is, I'm sure. And yeah, I thought it was pretty profound. Also, I was listening to an episode, and you guys were briefly mentioning aliens or something. And I want to recommend a documentary called Unacknowledged. It's one of my favorite documentaries, and it's great. It's good stuff. Anyways, I always appreciate you guys, everyone, Harper, Carol, Todd, thank you for all of the wonderful episodes you guys do together, and thanks. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for that. I completely understand where she's coming from.
Yeah, I need you to explain it a little bit to me, because I'm not really familiar with this kind of device,
yeah.
And I know that you've got something that you use. Yeah.
Almost the exact same thing. I don't think we have the exact same one, but it does the same sort of thing. It's a word bank of thousands upon thousands upon thousands, if not, I don't even more, maybe it's millions of words. And basically it's just kind of there, and it's scanning for different type of frequencies or different types of waves. It gets more technical than whatever I'm saying. Anyway, basically, it's there for something to manipulate, grab a word, and basically trigger it to your phone. So it'll say it in this app. And you basically kind of go around, ask questions, and watch this. Rather than listen for an EVP or something, the theory is that maybe it can trigger words on this app or this word bank easier than like speaking them out loud. And I'm telling you, 70% of the time they make sense on what in our experience with me and Harper. And you can see that on our YouTube show, Dad, Daughter, and the Dead, which is on our YouTube page. It's also on realghoststoriesonline.com. But it is freaky weird. When we were in Wisconsin a couple months ago, we were at a cemetery, and I was walking with Harper. Harper had a meter, a K2 meter in her hand. And I had the device that reads out the words. And I said, if you can, you can try and light up that thing that she's holding. If you go close to it, it should sense your energy and it should make the thing light up. And it says, meter, ?
Ooh.
Like, on spot.
But can it hear you? And is there a way?
I don't know. I mean, I guess.
But it sounded like she was just reading things online, not listening to things online.
Yeah. I mean, and you tend to ask questions and things like that with it, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's a manipulatable thing. And it's, I'll tell you too, depending on the areas where you're at, I've been in places where it just, I don't get anything, or it takes forever for something to come through it. And then it's still kind of like, nah. And then I've had places like that cemetery. It was going nonstop as we walked around in the snow that day. It wasn't slow at all. It just is like, it was like a lot of people were trying to talk. And you think of it, you're in a cemetery. Okay. There's probably a lot of people here that are trying to communicate at once. Then it's trying to keep track of who it is, you know, that's coming through. But no, I get it. I get the weirdness that she's feeling. I think she had something there.
And then there's me, like, I don't want anything like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't.
I'll send you the link so you can download it.
When I do, I'm going to take it to the USS Batfish.
Batfish, yes.
I almost said bat shit. The USS Batfish, and I'll be getting all kinds of shit there.
I bet you, but that's one where, like I said,
Latin.
I would not be taking out the ghost toys like that there. Because if you already know it, there's dark things. That's not a place I want to, you know, mess around with that.
No.
I don't need to get a greeting.
There are people listening right now going, oh, I'd do it.
Oh, I know. Sure. And that's whatever, more power to you. But that's just something I would.
No, I'd go to Tulsa. I'd be like, you know what? I saw the bat fish, got a few pictures. So you go ahead and go on it at night with your thing to talk to it, and I'll be in Tulsa.
What do you think would happen if you went through it like with sage, and you try and sage the whole thing?
And it's like you'd have to have some big ass things of sage after that ship was responsible for killing three. It's a killing submarine killing submarine.
Man dies in watertight compartment, slams shut as he sages submarine in Oklahoma.
Right. While friend Carol is out partying at Kane's ballroom.
That'd be a good one.
In nearby Tulsa.
Yep. There you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. And EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes. All of it's there for you to binge away on, and brand new EPP bonus episodes every single week. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's all commercial free too, so check it out. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.